AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
The best part of holiday gifting? Giving them something they'll use all year. During December deal drops at Lowe's, save $40 on select Craftsman V20 tools, now just $59. Plus, all rewards members get free standard shipping. Shop new December deal drops every week this month. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/10, while supplies last. Free shipping excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Subject to change. Visit lowes.com/shipping terms for details.
All right, everybody, get ready, because today we are diving into some serious drama, geopolitical drama. You know, you sent us this article, an Oval Office fiasco from electoral-vote.com, and wow, it really lives up to its name.
Yeah.
They're talking about a meeting between Zelensky and the Trump-Vance administration that totally went off the rails.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. This article actually predicts that entire books are going to be written about this meeting. So we're getting in early on what could be a pivotal moment.
Yeah, absolutely. The article really zeroes in on this meeting that took place on February 29th, 2025, in the Oval Office.
Right.
It was supposed to be about working out a deal, exchanging U.S. arms for rare earth minerals from Ukraine. Mm-hmm. But it kind of went from like diplomatic, you know, negotiations into this public and very heated confrontation.
Yeah, what makes this even more significant is the context surrounding the meeting. For instance, the article highlights that Russian state media was allowed into the Oval Office, while major U.S. news outlets were excluded.
Interesting.
So that raises a lot of questions about, you know, what message Trump was trying to send and who his intended audience was, you know.
Right.
Was this for domestic consumption?
Yeah.
Or was he trying to send a signal to Putin?
It's a very curious choice. And speaking of curious choices, the article spends a lot of time talking about Vice President Vance's role in all of this.
Yeah.
Apparently, he really took charge in the meeting and was very aggressive, questioning Zelensky's gratitude for U.S. aid.
Right.
And pushing for some kind of diplomatic solutions rather than, you know, continued military support.
And this is where things get really interesting, because Vance has no foreign policy experience and he's never even been to Ukraine.
Right.
So to see him lecturing Zelensky, a man who's been on the front lines of a war for years, about how to handle the situation is pretty audacious.
It's a bold move for someone with such limited experience in this area. The article points out that Zelensky didn't just sit there and take it.
Yeah.
He pushed back, highlighted the realities of the war, and questioned Vance's lack of firsthand experience. There's even a point where he directly asks Vance if he's ever even been to Ukraine.
Yeah, that's a powerful moment, because it really exposes that disconnect between the Trump administration's rhetoric and the reality on the ground in Ukraine.
Yeah.
You know, Zelensky is essentially saying, you have no idea what you're talking about because you've never experienced this firsthand.
It really puts Vance's comments in a whole different light.
Yeah.
And then just when you think things can't get any more heated,
yeah,
Trump himself jumps into the conversation.
Oh, boy.
And according to the article, he really doubles down on this idea of Ukraine being weak and the U.S. being strong, almost like he's trying to intimidate Zelensky.
Right.
It even gets to the point where he accuses Zelensky of disrespecting him and the United States.
This is where the power dynamics become really apparent. You have Trump, who is used to getting his way, and Zelensky, who's in a very vulnerable position, relying on U.S. aid to defend his country.
Right.
You know, it's a classic power play.
And the article also calls out a bunch of factual errors that Trump makes during the meeting. Like, he gets the year of the Crimea invasion wrong and claims that all European aid to Ukraine is loans, when a large portion of it is actually grants.
Those errors are significant because they suggest either a lack of understanding or maybe even a deliberate misrepresentation of the facts.
Right.
Either way, it undermines the credibility of the U.S. position and raises questions about Trump's competency on the world stage.
So the meeting ends pretty abruptly. The press conference is canceled.
Wow.
Zelensky's speech is canceled. But the drama doesn't end there. Shortly afterwards, Trump takes to Truth Social, his preferred social media platform, and just blasts Zelensky.
Oh, my God.
Accuses him of being ungrateful for U.S. aid and says that he's not ready for peace.
You know, it's worth noting that the article points out that this Truth Social post was likely reviewed by staff before it was published.
Oh, really?
So this wasn't just some off-the-cuff rant.
Right.
It was a calculated move to control the narrative and frame Zelensky in a negative light.
Which makes the whole situation even more troubling, because if this was a planned attack on Zelensky's reputation,
yeah,
what does that say about the Trump administration's approach to diplomacy and international relations?
Yeah, it raises some serious questions, and those questions only become more complex when you start to think about the possible motivations behind this whole fiasco.
Yeah, why would they do this?
Yeah.
We're going to have to dive into that next time.
Absolutely.
I'm your host, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
So we're left with this big question mark hanging over this whole thing. Why would Trump and Vance do this, you know, orchestrate such a public dressing down of Zelensky? Like, this, the article throws out some possible explanations.
Well, one theory is that it was a calculated move to undermine Zelensky. You know, maybe there were some whispers going around the administration that Trump was being outmaneuvered by Zelensky on this arms for rare earth deal.
Okay.
So the Oval Office meeting could have been a way to kind of like reassert dominance and put Zelensky back in his place.
So playing hardball, trying to get a better deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not exactly out of character for Trump, you know, based on his past business dealings.
Right.
But the article also suggests that maybe this whole thing could be tied back to Trump's first impeachment.
Oh, yeah. Right. Zelensky's refusal to, you know, play along with Trump's request to investigate the Bidens, that was a major factor in that whole impeachment inquiry.
Right.
So it's possible that Trump saw this meeting as an opportunity for payback, a chance to publicly humiliate Zelensky and show him who's really in charge.
It's a pretty unsettling thought, but I see how it fits into the narrative.
Yeah.
But the article doesn't stop there. It even brings up the possibility that Trump's mental state is a factor in all of this.
Right. The article points to, you know, Trump's increasing reliance on others to speak for him and the repeated factual errors he makes as evidence of possible cognitive decline.
Yeah.
You know, this raises serious concerns about his ability to lead effectively and make sound judgments, especially when it comes to international diplomacy.
Yeah, it's a sensitive topic for sure, but it's hard to ignore those concerns given the evidence presented in the article.
Right.
But beyond these potential motivations, we also have to ask, like, who was this whole performance really for?
Yeah.
Was it for domestic consumption? Was he trying to appeal to his base?
Yeah, it's definitely possible. By portraying Zelensky as, you know, ungrateful and weak, Trump could bolster his America First agenda.
Right.
And really kind of paint himself as this strong leader protecting American interests.
Or could it have been aimed at a more international audience, like maybe a message to Putin?
That's another intriguing possibility. You know, by publicly undermining Zelensky and signaling a potential pullback in U.S. support for Ukraine, Trump could be sending a message of appeasement to Putin.
Yeah.
It's almost like saying, look, I'm not really that committed to helping Ukraine, so maybe we can work something out.
And what about Vance's role in all of this? Could he have been trying to, you know, prove his loyalty to Trump?
Absolutely. Vance has been a controversial pick for vice president. A lot of people have questioned his qualifications, his experience.
Right.
So this could have been his attempt to show his unwavering allegiance to Trump and prove that he's willing to, you know, do whatever it takes to defend the administration's agenda.
So it's this really complex web of potential motivations, you know, personal vendettas, political maneuvering, global power plays. It seems like everything's kind of intertwined here.
Yeah.
But beyond, you know, these internal dynamics, we also have to talk about the fallout from this meeting.
Right.
It's had ripple effects across the globe.
Absolutely. You're right. While Democrats predictably condemned the meeting, the Republican response was more divided. Some, you know, fell in line behind Trump, but others, including some pretty prominent figures like Karl Rove representatives, Don Bacon, and Mike Lawler, they all expressed some serious concerns.
And for those not keeping score at home, those are all Republicans we're talking about.
Exactly.
So the fact that they're willing to criticize Trump so publicly really speaks volumes about how serious the situation is.
Yeah, these aren't just partisan attacks. These are coming from within Trump's own party. These are influential voices, you know, in the Republican establishment, and their criticism carries a lot of weight.
And what about internationally? How did world leaders react to this whole diplomatic train wreck?
Well, the response has been, you know, measured but firm. While most leaders haven't directly named Trump, you know, they've expressed strong support for Ukraine and subtly condemned the U.S. actions. for example. EU diplomat Kaja Kallas gave a speech where she didn't mention Trump specifically, but she talked about the need for a new global leader.
Wow.
It's hard not to interpret that as a direct response to this whole Oval Office fiasco.
That's a pretty bold statement coming from a key European diplomat.
Yeah.
You have to wonder, has Trump just irrevocably damaged trust in the U.S. as a reliable partner on the world stage?
That's the million-dollar question. You know, the article suggests that this meeting could be a real turning point, a moment where the world starts to seriously question the U.S.'s commitment to its allies and its role as a global leader.
And if the U.S. retreats from that leadership role, who fills the void?
Yeah.
What happens to the global order?
Those are some big questions that we need to explore further. But before we, you know, dive into those larger implications, let's bring it back to Zelensky.
Okay.
What options does he have in the face of this potential U.S. withdrawal?
So Zelensky's in a tough spot, leading a country at war and relying heavily on U.S. support. And now that support seems shaky at best. I mean, what are his options here?
Well, he's got limited choices, but I think giving up is not one of them. You know, based on his actions and personality so far, resignation or surrender are off the table.
Right.
You know, this article highlights Zelensky's incredible resilience and determination. He's not going to back down from a fight, even when the odds are stacked against him.
That fighting spirit has really resonated with people all over the world. He's become this symbol of resistance in the face of aggression.
Absolutely, and that global support might be one of his biggest assets right now. You know, the article suggests that Zelensky's most likely path forward is twofold mend fences with the U.S. as much as possible, while simultaneously strengthening ties with other countries.
So kind of a balancing act, trying to appease Trump without appearing weak, but also cultivating these alternative sources of support.
Exactly. And to your point about appeasing Trump, you know, the article highlights this fascinating contrast. While Trump accuses Zelensky of being ungrateful, Zelensky has actually expressed gratitude for U.S. aid numerous times very publicly.
So maybe reminding Trump of that support he's already received could be a strategic move. You know, remind him without having to grovel or make further concessions.
It's a delicate tightrope walk. But it could be a way to kind of de-escalate tensions without appearing to cave to Trump's demands. And remember, this arms for rare earth deal is crucial for Ukraine's defense. So Zelensky needs to find a way to salvage it if possible.
Right. Those rare earth minerals are essential for producing advanced weaponry. I mean, losing access to those resources would be a huge setback for their war effort.
Precisely. And the article makes it clear that Zelensky is well aware of this. So beyond trying to smooth things over with the U.S., he's also been, you know, actively cultivating relationships with other global leaders. He's been meeting with European leaders, securing pledges of continued support, even exploring these alternative defense partnerships.
So he's essentially hedging his bets, preparing for a future where the U.S. might not be the reliable partner it once was.
Exactly. And, you know, this proactive approach is smart. It sends a signal to the U.S. that Ukraine has other options while also reassuring Ukrainians that they're not alone in this fight.
It's a powerful message. It's not just about Ukraine anymore. It's about the future of global leadership and the strength of international alliances.
And that's a key takeaway from this whole situation. You know, this article argues that Trump's actions have far-reaching consequences that go beyond just this immediate conflict in Ukraine. It raises serious questions about the reliability of the U.S. as a global partner and its commitment to upholding, you know, international norms and agreements.
It's almost like Trump has thrown down the gauntlet, challenging the existing world order and forcing other nations to reassess their alliances.
And the response so far suggests that many are willing to accept that challenge. We're seeing a coalescing of support for Ukraine and a growing recognition that the U.S. might not be the indispensable nation it once claimed to be.
So what does this mean for the average person? Why should they care about this diplomatic drama unfolding thousands of miles away?
Because the world is interconnected. You know, the decisions made by leaders like Trump have real-world consequences that ripple outwards, impacting economies, trade security, even the very fabric of international relations. What's happening with Ukraine today could easily be replicated elsewhere tomorrow.
So it's not just about one country or one conflict. It's about these principles of democracy and sovereignty and the rule of law.
Exactly. And those principles are under threat in a world where leaders like Trump prioritize personal gain and political maneuvering over international cooperation and stability. You know, this article is a stark reminder that we can't take these principles for granted. We had to be actively engaged in formed citizens who hold our leaders accountable and demand better from them.
It's a powerful message and a sobering reminder that we all have a role to play in shaping the future we want to see.
I think that's a great place to leave it. You know, this deep dive has uncovered some really complex issues, but I hope it's also sparked some critical thinking and maybe even a sense of urgency for our listeners. This is not just a spectator sport. We all have a stake in this game.
Absolutely. Thank you for breaking all of this down for us today. And to our listeners, thank you for providing the source material that sparked this fascinating discussion. We hope this deep dive has given you some food for thought and maybe even inspired you to do a little digging of your own. Remember, knowledge is power, especially in times like these.